In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the holy new martyrs and confessors of Russia, an innumerable number of martyrs. We don't even know how many. We only know one thing about how many, and that is more than the whole period of the persecution of the church in the early years. Much more. And we read these two readings, from one from the Epistle, one from the Gospel, that are specifically about martyrs. And they're very inspiring, very wonderful. We've heard them other times of the year as well. Now I would ask you a question. What made all of these innumerable martyrs become martyrs? They were martyred in every possible way you can think of, and many that, thank God, we cannot think of. They were martyred at every age, in every walk of life. Clergy, lay people, rich, poor, young, old. But there is a unifying characteristic for what caused their martyrdom. And no, it was not the Soviet government. It was not the godless, atheistic authority. That's not the unifying characteristic. The epistle speaks of the unifying characteristic of their martyrdom. It was who they were. It was the kind of person they were. It was not their circumstances. It was not the event of their martyrdom. It was who they were. The epistle describes the Christian, the true Christian, and the true Christian can become a true martyr. Let us listen to these inspiring words from the Apostle Paul and learn something. And let's, as always, when we read the epistle, the gospel, anything in the Bible, let us compare these words to ourselves and let us weep that we are not the person we should be. But let us also rejoice that God gives us the grace so that we can become perfected. There has to be that dual feeling in your heart at all times. Sadness for your sins and the kind of person you are. You shouldn't be that person. You should be better. But also at the same time, great joy in the resurrection. This epistle speaks of that. So the apostle starts and says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And this is a fact for all Christians. It's difficult to believe this fact. Most Christians don't believe it. It is a fact. Why is it that people don't believe it? Because they do not understand what follows, as the apostle says. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. What does that mean? You know how I like to give multiple, I don't know how many now, definitions of salvation from the scriptures. This is another one. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That is why our Lord became man, so that we would become like him. Now we know this, but how much do we feel it? The one who truly understands this, who lives with this knowledge in their heart every moment of their life, realizing that this is the only thing that's important about their life, is that they are becoming conformed to the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Those people live powerful lives. They live righteous lives, productive lives. Not productive in terms of how the world talks about production, but in terms of how the soul grows. All of these martyrs, they were rich toward God, and because of their richness, they were capable of enduring martyrdom. Now, some of them endured long martyrdoms, difficult martyrdoms, incarcerations in terrible places, torture for many days, sometimes even years, seeing their families killed, all kinds of terrible things that took lots of time to happen. So they were severely tested. They were tried like silver is tried by the fire. And they had multiple times in their lives when they were undergoing their martyrdom, that they would have a sense of doubt or a sense of bewilderment, depression. And yet, because there was greatness in their heart, they were being transformed into the image of the Son of God. They were above all of these temptations. So should we be. If you look at the way the world is going, it is becoming illegal to be a Christian. You can see the seeds of it. It's happening even in this country. It's definitely happening all over the world. I read an estimate that a Christian is being killed on average every 5 seconds in the world today. That's why we pray for all those who are persecuted in the name of Christ. Many of them are not in the church, but may God receive their martyrdom according to His will. So that's why we mention all those places. We could mention a dozen other countries as well. And eventually, we'll probably mention places that you would never dream would be mentioned, maybe even our country. How are we going to be ready? When I was younger, in my 20s, there was a big movement about survivalists and getting food and, you know, having so much food stored away and having the right guns and the right ammunition and things for fishing and trapping so that when the great Antichrist comes, people would be in little holes in mountains and little huts and living underground and somehow would be able to keep themselves away from the evil government. That's not how you prepare. That's foolish. You prepare by being transformed into the image of the Son of God. That's how you prepare for martyrdom. And in fact, you should be preparing right now for the martyrdom that you must have endure tomorrow. Because martyrdom means to witness, right? You're going to have to make a witness tomorrow. Are you really a Christian or not? Or are you just like everybody else? You're jealous, you get angry, you're acquisitive, you're full of angry thoughts. You're going to have to make your witness tomorrow. In fact, you're going to have to make it today. So your martyrdom is happening now. All of us should consider ourselves to be martyrs. Perhaps none of us will die in blood, but we all should be making a witness. If we understand that we are conformed to the image of the Son of God, this changes everything. Nothing else is important. Only that. That is the ingredient that is present in all martyrs. And that is the ingredient that is really present in all true Christians. Now, he goes on to say, "What shall we say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us?" Now that's a rhetorical question, but you need to answer it. Remember, answer every question in Scripture. There are no real rhetorical questions in Scripture. Who can be against us? There is an answer to the question. There are people or entities that can be against us. And the greatest of these is ourselves, our own complacency. You know, for all of the martyrs of Russia, there were multiple people who gave up their Christianity just like that. Or perhaps after a little bit of struggle, they gave it up. They couldn't deal with not having a good job or not having a certain position in society or with the threat of torture. Most people, though, gave up their Christianity very easily, because they really never held on to it very tightly. So the answer to the question, who can be against us? It's not the government. It's not Satan. It's ourselves. Because with God in us, we are all powerful. We mount up like eagles. It says here also, we are more than conquerors. So the only one who can be against us is ourselves. And this is what I think when I read this, the following line. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Who can do it? Obviously, for these martyrs, none of those things separated them from the love of Christ. And for many people that were living right next to these martyrs and even gave them up to martyrdom, they lost their souls. Why? Because they allowed themselves to be separated from the love of Christ by their own complacency, their own lack of struggle, their own disbelief. Remember, disbelief is not that just when you think something's not true. Disbelief is when you live unlike the things you say. So disbelief for a Christian is to say, I love God, and then to hate his brother. Disbelief for a Christian is to say, I love God, and yet commit acts of depravity, immorality, or just mundane acts of daily life. That's disbelief. You were born for a purpose, each one of you. Born to be conformed to the image of his Son. Let us rejoice in this. But it's also a responsibility. It's something you must be doing every day. I spoke of it last night. Didn't say those words, but as we're going through Psalm 118, to know the law of God, to know his statutes, to know his ways, to know his words, is to know him, which is to become like him. This is the purpose of your life. The only one who can separate you from God is yourself. So as we learn of the martyrs, we're going to speak of one, Father Nicholas's martyr. He's not named for St. Nicholas, the wonder worker. He's named for a higher martyr, Nicholas. And he's going to tell us about it at the end of liturgy. I ask him to. But as we learn about the incredible lives of these martyrs, let us always apply their lives to ourselves. Let us always ask the question, how were they able to endure? Well, by being conformed to the image of Christ. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rejoice in this, brothers and sisters, but also consider this to be a command. It is a command that you must live according to this truth. So you're always ready. May God help us to be always being conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then we will truly be more than conquerors, like the great new martyrs and confessors of Russia. Amen.